It is always cool to hippity-hoppity off to any different land, but when that land brings you to the wonderful booksellers at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, that is just a really cool, fun place to be, and we are there this morning. While we get ready for, oh, some signs of spring, some what?
I'm hippity-hoppity.
Yeah, you're hippity-hoppity-ing. I didn't know if you needed an injection or something. I was just making sure. While we get ready for, you know, some semblance of spring, many of us are looking for a book, and maybe we're off on holiday, and you just need a good read, or you just want the perfect book to get through the rest of the winter. Our guest this morning will help you. Owner Joan Grenier is here, and bookseller Kinsey Foreman join us to present a wonderful list of books. And again, they're from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. 9 College Street. There they are. Here they are. Good morning.
Hopping along.
How are you?
I'm good.
It's a delight to see you both. Thank you very much.
And by the way, Kinsey is assistant manager.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Just everything else she does at the Odyssey.
Well, great. Well, congratulations. That is wonderful. So let us begin. We'll go back and forth. I know you both have your list of books. So I'll go with you. We'll start with you, Joan.
Well, I'm going to start with The Age of Light by Whitney Sher. She was with us a few weeks ago, so we do have signed copies. This is really historical fiction at its best.
She's going to be on our show, I want to say Monday.
Great. Well, she's great.
Okay.
And it's about a young Lee Miller. She arrives in Paris in 1929. Previously, she's been a model, a successful model in New York City, but she would prefer now to be the photographer. And 1930s in Paris, magnet for writers and authors, an artist. And she meets the successful artist Man Ray and arranges to be his assistant, and in exchange for him teaching her photography. And then they develop a passionate love affair. But she doesn't want to be under his wing. And so there's a lot of back and forth. And finally, she branches out on her own. She becomes her own well-known photographer, especially during World War II. She's one of the only female war photographers. So, but first she has a struggle with insecurities and contradictions that, you know, confront women even now today. But she really does evolve into a great journalist. I love the book.
It is The Age of Light, and it's Whitney Sher.
I think that's right.
Okay, we'll go with that, and I'll have it memorized by the time we interview her, which as I said is going to be next. I just want to make sure I have the date right. I think she's going to join us on Monday, but we'll figure that out. All right.
Okay, my first book is a picture book called Because by Mo Willems, one of our favorite local authors.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's great. Illustrated by Amber Wren, and this one comes out, I believe, next Tuesday. It's about a young girl who has a life-changing experience when she's able to attend the orchestra. But even before that, someone had to write the music, someone had to create the poster, the train conductor had to drop them off at the station. So it's just a really beautiful book about all the everyday miracles that kind of lead us to our present circumstances. And then the girl practices every day, grows up to become a conductor, and inspires a new person in their journey. So it's just a really beautiful book. The illustrations are great, and it's Mo Willems. So,
and he's coming in,
and he'll be in this week to sign, so you can get signed copies through us.
Mo Willems, and it's just his work I love. It's called Because by Mo Willems. All right,
I'm going to talk about another novel, The Weight of a Piano by Chris Kander. Is she coming?
No.
Well.
But I wish.
Get going on that one.
Because I did. I started this book when I loved it. But go ahead.
This is a fascinating novel, and it really weaves together places, people, and a Bluthner upright piano, which I had no idea what that was.
Nope.
But even the piano has, it starts with the person who's going to build this piano going out into the woods in Russia, picking the right tree, getting the right sound. And then it continues where Clara, no, it's Katya, who's a Russian Jewish, eventually immigrant to the California with her husband. But she's a fine pianist, and she's given this piano as a girl. But then she fears it, you know, it'll never make it to the U.S. with her. And the other person is Clara, who's a car mechanic, and she currently owns the piano. So this story by Chris has all kinds of characters and their past, their passions, and a search for the future that will bring them stability and happiness. Death Valley figures into it as well. And you're never quite sure where it's all going to end up. And Chris was with us. She's from Houston. And we have signed copies available also. And both the books I've just talked about are selections for our first edition club.
Terrific. Excellent. Kinsey.
Okay. Another picture book, When Grandma Gives You a Lemon Tree, by another local author, Jamie Dinahan. We'll be selling books at her book launch on Tuesday, March 5th, in Suffield, Connecticut. So the little girl in this book, she has a couple of things on her birthday list. She wants a robot dog, a drone, but instead her grandma gives her a lemon tree, and the rest of the book is a very humorous instruction manual on how to care for her lemon tree. One of the things on the list is don't drop it off a bridge. That's very important. So she takes care of the lemon tree.
Quite an issue.
And then she's able to pick the lemons, juice them, create lemonade, sell it, and go to the store to buy her own presents, which turns out to be very different from what was on her original list. It's just a very beautiful book, very colorful, and it has a great message.
So when life hands you lemons, or in this case, grandma,
yep.
You make lemonade.
Exactly.
Simple as that. Mm-hmm. A wise,
time-honored
it's
tale. A beautiful story.
A beautiful, mm-hmm. Yeah, gorgeous illustrations as well. Mm-hmm. All right, Joan, back to you.
Falter. Has the human game begun to play itself out?
Oh,
Bill McKibben.
Our buddy.
I've been reading Bill McKibben for the last 30 years, since I was three. Just kidding. And he is one of the best writers on climate change and the widespread impact of global warming. He brings together all these scientific reports, which I would never get around to reading, journalistic articles, and across many, many disciplines from around the globe, and presents it in a very coherent and accessible manner. And although the situation is dire, there's still hope for our grandchildren and future generations. Just a few of the things that come from the book that, you know, a lot of us know that there is climate change. There's only a few people that don't. But a few things. In terms of the fires that we read about, the fire season now is 78 days longer than in 1970. And the climate change costs the U.S. economy $240 billion per year. And it's also involved, you know, Syria before the Civil War, there was a record drought there. The heat that's happening in the Middle East now, in Iran, 129 degrees Fahrenheit for a couple days. I don't know how you, with a heat index going up to 140, as high as 165 degrees.
How do you live with that?
I don't know. Also, a little bit of a departure for him, he goes into Ayn Rand and the Ayn Rand fan club, the neoliberals, and who are, you know, small government, government's bad, selfish is good, taxes are bad, and Fountainhead, which he wrote, is one of Donald Trump's favorite books, and talks about that whole mindset that is you know, ruining our country, basically. His solutions are interesting. He calls them two technologies. One, of course, is solar energy, which is rapidly growing and the prices decline. And also nonviolence, which I don't often think of as a technology, but it made me think about it in a different way. So great book. We don't have him scheduled yet, but I sure hope he's going to come.
It is. It comes out.
It comes out in April. So this is a galley with all my.
It comes out in April, so it'll be out soon. We are going to have him on, and I'm delighted. He's a great friend, a personal friend, and a friend of the show, and we're delighted that he will join us. But it's a beautiful new book. It's called Falter. Has the Human Game Begun to Play Itself Out? So add that to your list and look for it. Starting in April. All right, Kinsey.
Okay, I have a middle grade novel, To Night Owl from Dogfish, by Holly Goldberg Sloan and Meg Wolitzer. They are a power couple in this book. I love it so much. It's one of my favorite books I've read this year. The two girls in the book, Avery and Bet, are complete opposites. Avery is very bookish, afraid of large bodies of water, whereas Bet loves to jump feet first into large bodies of water. And the only thing they have in common is that they're both being raised by single gay dads who they also find out have been dating in secret and are sending them to the same summer camp so that they can bond and become sisters. And they're very resistant to the idea at first, but then they start to develop this really beautiful friendship as the relationship between their fathers starts to fall apart. Then they get kicked out of summer camp. They join a theater troupe. They have a lot of adventures together. And the whole book is told mostly through email between the two girls and letters, and it's just a really beautiful novel about the power of chosen family and developing these relationships with people across difference that might not always be what you expect.
That is terrific. It's Tonight Owl from Dogfish, and it's by Holly Goldberg Sloan and Meg Wolitzer. All right, next, Joan.
How much time do we have? I have two more.
Okay.
Well, then I'm going to talk about Maid. Hard Work, Low Pay, and A Mother's Will to Survive by Stephanie Land. And this has jumped to the bestseller list, which is great, just came out. There are tens of millions of working poor people in this country. Many are invisible to other Americans, or worse, looked down on for their desperate need of federal assistance. And Stephanie Land shares with us her, in painful detail, her account of how a working poor single mother struggles to keep a roof over her house and her daughter's head, and how she lived on the edge of homelessness, and what it's like to hope that there's enough money for food at the end of each month. And she becomes, works as a maid in very wealthy houses, cleaning them. And I'll tell you, it's really an amazing story about how just, you know, a car breaking down can, you know, put you in a shelter. There's just, you know, not a safety net, no matter how hard she works. And the job is really, you know, this is not the way I clean my house. This is a deep clean.
Right.
So I'm glad that she was able to, you know, write this book. And it's part of Barbara Ehrenreich's, and I don't have the book in front of me, so I forget what it's called, but helping writers who are, you know, writing about the same things that they're in Nickel and Dime, basically. So I thought it was very illuminating.
Maid, Hard Work, Low Pay, and A Mother's Will to Survive. Stephanie Land is the author. Kinsey.
Okay, my next book is a young adult novel, Once and Future, by Amy Rose Capetta and Corey McCarthy, who will be at the store on March 26th for their book launch. This is a gender-bent retelling of the King Arthur legend set in the future where an evil capitalist corporation owns the entire galaxy. And Merlin has been aging backwards over the years and is now in the body of a teenager. King Arthur is also a teenage girl.
A lot going on there.
There's a lot going on. It's very queer, very funny, witty, great commentary on capitalism, lots of fun adventures across the galaxy. It's a great book. I highly recommend it.
Excellent. All right, Joan.
Well, I have a children's book now. It's a picture book written by local Hoyoke author Leslea Newman. Pictures by Amy June Bates. It's called Gettle's Journey, an Ellis Island story. And this is a story that comes from Leslea's family history. It's grades 2 to 5, basically. And Gettle and her mother are supposed to emigrate to America. But when her mother is stopped by the health inspector, Gettle must journey alone. And she's 9 years old. Her mother writes the cousin's address in New York down on a piece of paper. However, when Gettle arrives at Ellis Island, she discovers that she's been holding on to it so tight that the ink is running and it can't read it. And how will she find her family? Well, it's a heartwarming story because she does find help. They take a picture of her for a Jewish newspaper, and her uncle finds her. It's beautifully, beautifully illustrated. And there is, in the back, there's this, the story of Leslie's family. And there's also a bibliography and a Yiddish glossary. And I've sent this to one of my granddaughters, and I have to get a report back. But I just love this book. You know, it's about immigration and, what happens when, how our country becomes stronger with immigrants. And it's been going on for a long time, including my father, who immigrated in 1923.
It is a beautiful book. I did get a copy of it, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Skittles Journey and Ellis Island Story. Okay. And you can finish us off here.
Okay, one more. The Cold Is in Her Bones by Petronelle Van Arsdale. Very appropriate for this time of year. It's a dark feminist fairy tale about a village where girls between the ages of 12 and 18 are being possessed by a demon. And the story focuses on a young girl named Mila who's been sort of sequestered away from the rest of the village. And she doesn't know about the curse until her best friend is possessed and taken away to the place. So then she has to go on the journey to save her and all the other girls who've been taken there. So it's incredibly well written, a great story for anyone who has ever felt the dangers of nonconformity, but also the power in that act. So, great book.
The name of the book is The Cold Is in Her Bones, and it's out. And what else would you like to tell us?
Well,
about,
I'd just like to tell you we have a Mount Holyoke alum from the class of 2005 coming to Mount Holyoke for her first, it's not her first book. It's a novel called The Hundred Wells of Salaga. It's set in pre-colonial Ghana. Her name's Aisha Haruna Atta. And it's the lead title from Other Press, and it's a paperback original. So we're very excited about her coming. And then on Thursday, we have Sonia Nieto and Alicia Lopez, who are mother-daughter and have written a book. They're both have been teachers, and Sonia was a professor at the College of Education at UMass. And it's called Teaching, A Life's Work and Mother-Daughter Dialogue. And that'll be Thursday at the Odyssey. And they have just been great educators in our valley. So
all good stuff. Well,
Marlon James.
March 14th at 7 o'clock.
Be there or be square.
All right. All good stuff. Marlon James is coming, and I just looked it up. We found the name of the book, which is Black Leopard, Red Wolf, and he will be on the 14th. You can find out the entire schedule of the cool events happening at the Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, Massachusetts by going to their website. It's odysseybks.com, odysseybks.com. Better yet, go visit them. They're at 9 College Street in South Hadley, Massachusetts. 9 College Street, and again, odysseybks.com. You can see the entire list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, which will ultimately have a link which will send you to the Odyssey Book Store page. So, all of that, it's the world is round, you know. And Kinsey, Joan, it's always a delight to see you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You guys are great. You do wonderful work, and I thank you very much for sharing it with us.
Oh, thank you for inviting us.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.